Well, then it's a real joy to be with you tonight. It just seems like coming home. And get the added benefit of enjoying your lovely singing. It's a really thrill to the soul. And maybe I could just tell my brother that Tom Watt is not dead. He was preaching in Deadridge last week, and he gave us a wonderful gospel message. So we do trust that our time together tonight will prove to be a real blessing to our souls. I would like us to turn, first of all, to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, and we shall commence reading at verse 1. Luke chapter 15, verse number 1. Then drew near unto him, that is the Lord Jesus, all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Over to 1 Timothy now, please. 1 Timothy, and again, chapter 1, and we shall read verse number 15. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's the Apostle Paul's testimony. And it's good to know that the chief of sinners is in heaven tonight, so if he's in heaven, there's hope for us, isn't there? What I want to do very briefly tonight is to divide the meeting maybe into two. A little word on the gospel and a testimony meeting. But a testimony meeting with a difference, you'll find out later. In Luke chapter 15, we're introduced to this lovely saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. There has never been sweeter words fallen in mortal ears, that this man receiveth sinners. One has said, you know, it's often been said, I think, many a true word is spoken in jest. But here we have words spoken not out of jest, but out of envy, and out of jealousy, and out of hatred. And the curl of the lip is up as the Pharisees, looking at the Lord Jesus, as these dear men, the Pharisees, the publicans and the sinners, they crowded around the Lord Jesus, and all they wanted to do was to hear his word. I wonder tonight, have you got a heart like that? Do you want to hear the words of the Lord Jesus whisper in your soul, Thy sins be forgiven thee? Is it a wonder to know that tonight, that the testimony of so many in the hall tonight, as they've come to know Christ as their Saviour. And I just wonder, have you? Now, I don't know you all, but they know most of you. And we just trust that God will really search your heart tonight. This man receiveth sinners. Has he received you? You know, we often hear the testimonies of folks up here, and maybe personally. You know, I well remember the night I received Christ as my Saviour. I can remember the night I trusted Christ. It's just as though it was yesterday. It's so real, and it's so vital, and it's so life-changing. You can't have a contact with Christ and be the same person ever again. You know, the Bible says here that this man receiveth sinners, and not only receiving them, he eateth with them. He has fellowship with them. You see, he's not a historical figure in the distant past. He's not somebody that's written in the pages of history. He is a living reality. And he's here tonight. I would like just to say three big words, and they're big for me, but you know, they're lovely words. Three descriptions of the person of God. He's omniscient, he's omnipresent, and he's omnipotent. Omniscient means he sees all things. So whatever your circumstance of life, whatever your burdens, whatever your cares, the Lord knows everything about them. There's not one iota in your life that the Lord doesn't know about. Not only is he omniscient, but he's omnipresent. That means that he's there all the time. And so sometimes you've maybe got a burden, a care, and you're praying and you just think, nobody cares. Nobody bothers about me. And your prayers just seem to hit the roof. I want to tell you tonight that he's omnipresent. He's with us through every circumstance of life. And not only that, he is omnipotent. He's all powerful. He can meet your every need. And so we can trust this one with all our heart and with all our soul. This man received a sinner. But this is the wonder. It's even better. You know, we receive Christ. But to think of it, he's the almighty eternal Son of God. He's the one who died upon the cross for us. It's a wonderful privilege to accept him. But the Bible teaches us that he receives us. This man receives sinners. You know, you can be just like the words of the hymn writer tonight. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. He's waiting for us to come. When we move into 1 Timothy 15, it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now I'll give you another saying. You know, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy and wise. You know, that's a well-known saying, but it's not true. Well, there's a possibility it might make you a wee bit healthy, but it won't make you wealthy, or it won't make you wise. So the sayings of the world go for nothing. But here says Paul, this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy to be accepted by all. What is it, Paul? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. That's why he came. We don't need any sort of highfalutin theological dissertation. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The story is told of the wee girl that came home from Sunday school one day. And she turned to her mummy and she says, Mummy, am I a sinner? And the mummy says, oh no, no, my dear. You're just a wee girl. You are not a sinner. And the poor wee girl started to cry. And she says, why are you crying, my dear? Well, she says, if I'm not a sinner, then Jesus didn't come to save me. So I won't get to heaven. Because our memory text in the Sunday school today was, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So we've got to grasp this idea that we are sinners, maybe not by practice, but we're sinners by nature. We were born into this world with a fallen nature, and we need to be saved. We need to be saved. And we could maybe just ask a question, well, you receive sinners, that's good. How do you save sinners? Well, he says, you know, I went to that old-fashioned blood-stained rugged cross, and I hung there. And God took your sin and my sin and placed it upon me, and I suffered and bled and died in your place. I bore your sin in my own body upon the tree. And when we think of this, when we think of Calvary, I would like to take you to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, is it? And Dr. Luke, remember, the beloved physician, he's a doctor. And he uses a different word altogether with describing the crucifixion of Christ. You know what he says? He says, and when they came to that sight, when they came to that sight, they smote their breasts and returned. There has never been a sight that mortal eyes have ever looked upon than the crucifixion of Christ. Lifted up, nailed to a Roman gibbet, unrecognizable as a human being, body lacerated, and the crown of thorns crushed upon his brow, there he is. He's suffering and he's bleeding, he's dying. Dr. Luke had seen many sights in his profession, but he had never seen a sight like this. Tell me, have you visited that sight? Because every one of us, without exception, we, through our sin, put him there. The soldiers that nailed his hands and feet are no worse than us. And the mocking and the scoffing, that was us before we were saved, us Christians. So Christ loved us. And there's a lovely text that says, he, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed himself unto him who judgeth righteously. Here he is. He's enduring all the sufferings of Calvary. He's enduring all that men had done for him. Why? Because it was the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God had determined that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And we've all sinned. God has determined that Christ would die in the place of the sinner. But there's just one wee problem. You know, when a person in the Old Testament was coming to the tabernacle to offer a sin offering, excuse me, he brought his animal to the door of the tabernacle and he put his hand on the animal's head. Two significances. One, the sin of the guilty party was transferred to the innocent victim. Now, we all want that. The whole world would go for that. But this is a crunch. I must publicly associate myself with the sacrifice. This is repentance. Repentance is not just a thought of the mind, I'll change my mind and I'll just say I believe in the Lord Jesus. No, it's a committal to Christ, taking the reins of the government of your life, putting them into his hand, making him Lord, and your direction has changed, and your life has changed, your desires have changed, because you've got the Spirit of God within you, the Word of God becomes real, and there's a tremendous change in your life. We used to sing with the boys and girls, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. So this man receiveth sinners, and he saves sinners, and he saves it through the shedding of his own most precious blood upon the cross. Now for the testimonies. First of all, I would like to tell you of a little story I read quite a number of years ago. It was about this dear old widower was feeling rather nostalgic. And he goes up to the attic and he's looking over all the family heirlooms and he comes to the wee box with his boys' toys and so on. And he picks up the photograph album and he sees the photograph of the baby boy. He sees him in boyhood. He sees him in his youth. He sees him in university. And he sees him married. And he's thinking of all this and he puts it down again. And there was a little book that he had never noticed before. He picked it up and he flipped through the pages. And you know, it was his boy's diary. He never knew that he kept the diary. And as he flipped through the pages, he came to this page, and it says, went fishing with my dad today. The best day of my life. And he walked down the steps, and he says, I wonder what I wrote in my diary for that day. So he stepped down into his study, lovely leather-bound book he took out, turned to the page, and this is what he read. Took Johnny fishing today. We caught nothing. The weather was horrible. A miserable day. What a waste of time. Now what a change in attitude. Now there's only two attitudes towards Jesus Christ. You'll either accept him or you'll reject him. Now this man receiveth sinners. We really need to go back to chapter 13 to find out the background. You see, in the house of the Pharisees, the Lord Jesus went in, and this was the chief of the Pharisees, he went in to have a meal with them. And it says, they watched him with a critical eye, with the accusing finger, ready to jump in any one slight mistake he would make. And he never made any, of course. And then there was a man in that house that had dropsy. And they were wondering, what is he going to do? Because it was the Sabbath day. And their religion, their teaching says, nothing on the Sabbath day. And the Lord Jesus, he comes to them and he says, tell me, which one of you that had an ox or an ass that fell into a pit, would you just not straightway go and take it out? He's showing them, look, mankind is far more precious to me than animals. And so he healed the man. He asked him, well, what will I do? And they remain silent. And you know, silence is usually an assent of agreement, but no, these men were wicked. And so he gave them a little parable. He says, listen, when a man maketh a wedding, and you go, and I've watched you, he's watching them now. And this is a wonderful thing, that as we're watching Christ, Christ is watching us. He knows our every thought, our every word, our every deed. He sees our every action. And he knows all about us. And he says, look, he says, when you're going to the wedding, you really think something of yourself. You're taking up the chiefest of seats. He says, don't do that. Because there might be a more honourable man than you. And he says, he'll come up and the host will come to you and say, well, move down the table. We've got a more honourable man. And you with shame will go down. Listen, he says, when you're making a feast, he says, don't bring in your friends. Don't bring in those that can repay you. But bring in the halt and the maim and the blind. Give these people a blessing that they cannot return unto you. And so we could go on in chapter 13. There is a marriage and there is the invitation where everybody refuses it. But I want to get on to this testimony. Tell me, what was the best day in your life? Was it when you accepted Christ? There is no better day than my life. I can well remember it, bowing on my knees for the first time in my life, looking into the Word of God for the first time in my life, seeing the Scriptures with the promises of God and simply and childlike believing them, feeling the tremendous burden and guilt of my sin. I cried to God for salvation, and Christ came into my soul, and you know, that night I was saved, eternally saved. But what I want to do is to take some characters from the Bible and to ask them to give their testimony. There was one man prayed for tonight already, the leper, you know. You think of the leper. Excuse me, sir, could you tell me your testimony? Hi, he says, I could. He says, you know, wasn't very long growing up in the family when, you know, was a dad or mum had noticed a sweet spot. And they took me along to the priest and he looked at me and he says, I'm afraid this boy's got leprosy. And they kept me another 7 days, they checked and they said, yes. And you know, I was cast out from home. And I had to walk about the streets. I couldn't mingle with my friends anymore. I had to cover my face. And I had to cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. And men that were coming down the street, pals that I knew, they would turn and they would walk back, they would cross to the other side of the street, and they would have nothing to do with me because of my leprosy. And it's a horrible thing to see a leprous man or woman. You know, he was, again we come to Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke says, this man was full of leprosy. Unmistakable. And you know, I want to say tonight that that man is just like you and just like me. Not that we've leprosy on the outside, but we've got leprosy on the inside. And our heart is totally, desperately wicked before God. There's not a good thing in it or about it. And so this man says, you know, the best day of my life was when I heard that Jesus came. And you know, I went to Jesus and I just asked him to heal me. And you know, so unlike any other person, he embraced me. He held me to himself and the leprosy fled. And I'm now new. I'm cleansed. I'm fitted. And I can now go back home. I can now mingle with my friends. I've got a new life altogether. You know, some people won't come to Christ because the devil whispers in their ear. You know, if you come to Christ, you'll lose this. You'll lose that. You'll lose your friends. You'll lose anything and everything. I say, come on, I'm glad I lost my leprosy. And I'm glad I lost my sin. And I tell you that this man was completely healed because he trusted Christ. And if you come to Christ tonight, the leprous state of your soul can be cleansed and you can be fitted for heaven. Then let's go to the man of Gadara. You know, here's the Lord Jesus. He's on the boat. He's going through a storm and it's a tremendous storm. And there's a man on the other side that's in a storm. And I want to tell you that ere that man could be reached, the Lord had to go through the storm. And I tell you tonight, ere you could be saved, there's a mighty storm at Calvary that the Lord had to pass through. What does he say prophetically? All thy waves and thy billows have gone over my soul. I sink in deep mire, fear there is no standing. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Under the hand of his loving God, Christ bared his bosom, and he went right through the storm to bring us to the safe shore. And so here he is, he's gone through the storm, and here's a man. He's demented with these demons. He's wearing no clothes. And you know, the community tried to bind him, and he broke the chains asunder. They couldn't control him. They couldn't bind him at all. So here he is. He's in the place of death. He's in the tombs. He's cutting himself. And you know, he's in a terrible state, this man. And I want to tell you tonight that how many, I can think of the testimony of Duncan Donaldson from Airdrie. He needed 5 policemen to arrest him. And yet when he got saved, he had over his t-shirt under new management. And so here's a man, he's totally dominated by the devil and by evil. And here he is, he can't break the chains, he can't get rid of it. And so the Lord comes and he deals with him. And when the people come back, they find him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. What a wonderful change in his life was wrought. No more demented, no more weeping and crying, no more cursing and swearing, no more wandering about filled with shame and nakedness. So much so that the joy was real in his soul. He says, Lord, he says, if you'll only let me come, if you'll only let me come with you, you've won my heart and my soul, you've delivered me, and I just want to serve you for the rest of my life. And the Lord says, okay. He says, I want you to go home. And one gospel says, go home and tell what great things the Lord hath done for you. Another gospel says, go home and show. Can you just imagine it? Can you just imagine it? There he is, he's walking up the street. And he's coming to his house. And just imagine, if you'll excuse this sanctified imagination, but you just imagine, the real life running in, shouting, Mummy, Mummy, here's Daddy, here's Daddy! And the doors are barred, and the windows are barred. And here he comes, and he knocks at the door. He says, it's all right, dear. You can open the door now. I've met Christ. My life has changed. And I can be a real husband and a real father to you. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Has he come into your heart? Is he a real living Saviour in your life? Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? To have your sin forgiven? Destined for heaven? It's so difficult. There are so many in the scripture, but I just thought of that other lady in Luke chapter 13. Here she is. 18 years she's been bent. I really wonder, was she born like that? You know, it has been said once, 2 men in a prison cell, and they looked out, and one saw stars, and the other saw mad. It all depends how you look. And here's a dear woman. Her life was in the gutter. Her life was in the gutter. All that she could see was the filth of the side streets. She couldn't look up to the beautiful blue sky. Her life was completely in the gutter. I remember hearing a really very sad story about a young man that was so burden for the souls of men and women that he would stand out and he would try and get people to come into the gospel hall. And this night, amazing, he got two ladies, but they were prostitutes. And as he was leading them in and as they were going into the hall, they passed by 2 dear old ladies. And as they passed by, these ladies heard them say to this young man, is that the best you can do? You know, God loves every sinner. There's not one without the pale of God's love that he can't forgive and cleanse. And here's a woman, you know what the first thing she saw about Christ? She saw his feet. She saw that sandal's feet that soon were going to be nailed to the cross, bearing her sin. And the Lord had compassion on her. And the Lord straightened her up. And you know, if your life is twisted tonight, and if you've burdens that you can't lift your eye to look into the eye of God, He can remove your burden. He can remove your shame. He can remove your sorrow. He can remove your pain. And He can give you a real joy in life. And He can lift up your eyes and you can see Him upon the throne by faith. And you can know that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Then we'll go to the other spectrum. Nicodemus, what was the best day of your life? He says, I'll tell you the best day in my life, you see. I had a good home. If we would put it into modern day terms, I had a Christian home. My dad and mum wanted me to go in for the things of God. And they put me to the rabbinical school. And I studied and I studied and I studied. And you know, I became a Pharisee. And Paul could say, of the straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And he says, not only became a Pharisee, but I became a ruler of the Jews, and I was setting. And I thought, now once I become there, once I get to the top, I'll find satisfaction. And he couldn't. You know, it's really sad today, and God forbid that we should ever point a critical finger at any. But so many of our religious buildings today, and churches and chapels, and so on, they're telling men and women just to reach the top. Just be true to your religion. Just come and everything will be all right in the end. But no. I remember reading about one man who wrote, if I've got to go to heaven through any butcher shop, that's how he thought of Calvary, I'll never be in heaven. Well, that man will never be in heaven because it's only the blood of Christ that can cleanse from sin. And here is Nicodemus. He says, you know, there was something missing in my life with all my religion, with all my good works, with all my living and seeking to be good for the community and represent the community, there's something missing in my life. And Master, he says, you're a teacher come from God. We know that because of the miracles that you do. The Lord never even listened to him. He turned to him and he said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And this man trusted Christ as his Savior, was born again, born into the family of God. And in so doing, he became a real child of God. He says, that's the best day of my life. Proved it at the resurrection when he was the only one there with Joseph of Arimathea that brought ointment to anoint the body of Christ. And so we could go on, but I'm afraid that's 7:15. We could think of the home of Jairus. You know, parents, the best day of their life next to salvation is to see their children being saved. And you know, father and mother, even from before the children are born, they're praying and praying and praying to God that they will indeed come to know Christ. I well remember this, and I'll never forget it. Our oldest daughter, Fiona, we were having meetings up in Kenyusi at the time, and a friend of mine, George Huskisson, was preaching that night, and he was preaching on the blood upon the doorposts and upon the lintels, and he preached the gospel. And that Thursday night, Fiona trusted Christ as her Saviour. And mind you, it was Sunday morning after the morning meeting, before we knew. And she told us that she'd got saved. What a thrill. That was the second best day of my life, you know, to think that here was my wee lass trusting Christ as her Saviour. But you know, what was even better than that was her telling her testimony. She gave her testimony to her wee pal, and she says, Valerie, she says, I knelt down at my bedside, and I said, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And you know, he came in. But I tell you, it was the next phrase that really filled my soul. But she says, Valerie, I really meant it. I really meant it. You could say those words and nothing happened. God doesn't read the words. He reads the heart. And if our heart is true before God and broken because of our sin, and there is a repentant spirit in our soul, that we're turning from our sin and turning from our wayward ways and turning to Christ and claiming Him and Him alone, then I tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from your sin and will fit you for heaven. If you want a new life, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Let's pray. Our blessed God and our Father, we bow now in thy holy presence. And we thank thee, Father, that thy word has reminded us that there will be joy in heaven over one sinner repenting. And we thank thee, Father, that not only in heaven, we remember, Father, among the people of God, we remember best of all, Father, upon the person that repents, the joy of the Lord will flood their souls, and they'll know, Father, that this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So we thank thee for our time together tonight, and we just pray for thy parting blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.